Is there any other fisheries matters we can take on the agenda?
No.
Let's open the public comment period. And we'll start with Mr. Neal here. Let's discuss cobia.
Just for those not in the loop, we had a very good cobia season last year. Actually, kind of had too good of a cobia season last year. And so the total, what they call it, annual catch limit, total allowable catch, whatever you want, ACL, we busted it pretty badly. And by the South Atlantic Fisheries Management Council, is lead counsel in the cobia for the East Coast. And by what their constraints are, they're going to have to require a closure in federal waters. And we have to discuss what that means to us in state waters, what we're going to have to do. We're going to need to do something. And so then that becomes a question of what that's going to be. There already have been proposals of boat limits, and there's one proposal come out of my club requesting a 3-fish boat limit with only 1 fish over 50 inches allowed as a way of reducing our catch. Closure in state waters would be very, very bad. There are people who go out of business. Losses probably would make it. And so there's some marinas that are really tough. So we're going to have to address this, and that's why I brought this up. I think the sooner we actually get this talking, the sooner the better. The South Carolina, they've already passed both their houses of going to a 3-fish boat limit and closing the month of May, I believe, is what they're doing, and they're doing a crossover. North Carolina just went to a 1 fish per person, down from 2 fish per person. So there's a lot of changes being done at state levels, but then over looming all of that is what's going to be coming from NOAA through the South Atlantic group. What they can do in 2017, there's a lot of options. It's 2016 is our problem. And their only option is to close the season at a certain point. And if they pick a date, whatever date they pick, Virginia's going to take it on the chin just because of the way seasons are. Our season starts, well, we get some in May. But mid-June is when we really get rolling. And that's kind of when they're talking about closing the season.
Chief Ferrara.
We have 56% of the ACL in 2015. That was just Virginia.
When you say we had it, you mean we caught it?
Yeah, of the ACL. The unique thing about this ACL that we found out is usually the annual catch limit includes the harvested fish and a portion of the dead discards. This ACL doesn't. So it was 2.5 times what it could be, I think, pretty close to that. And Virginia has 56% of that. We can open this to a public hearing. It's just that the sequence of events hasn't occurred yet. So you mentioned South Carolina, North Carolina. What I saw was that if NIFS looked at the data and if North Carolina, South Carolina, and Georgia went to 1 fish, because they have a 2-fish limit and we have 1 fish, that it would be about a liberal 5% reduction, and the season closure, at least in federal waters, would be 3 days difference. Mm-hmm. So we don't know yet some of the key information. One of the things that we're operating under the premise is that any changes that we propose will be for 2017, because 2016 is already earmarked to be based on what happened in 2015, the ACL in 2015. That's the way the accountability measures, which is what they're called, are geared. These accountability measures were just changed in November 2014. That's why there's only 1 year to look at, 2015. One nice thing to think about, if they manage to say, well, 2015 wasn't necessarily anomalous, but it was a high year, you know, one of the higher years, and maybe use some of the 2014 data, which we've looked at too. And that is a much better scenario. In our own backyard here, we already know that the boat limit is not going to give us very much clout, just because there are very few instances of boat limits that go beyond three or four. The charter data, which would be really important, I just had it looked up a few minutes ago by Todd Sperling, and he reported there was one charter report in 2014, none in 2015. There were six recreational reports on the Saltwater Journal in 2015. Where's Ryan? Ryan, can you tell us, you ran the three fish limit? Come on up. Because Ryan's been running the data, too. So we ought to know what we're getting into first a little bit, and we can get into it more next month if that's what the commission wants. But tell them what you ran, the data you ran.
So first looked at the 2015 raw MRIP data. So every survey that was done, every boat ramp intercept was done. And they didn't catch any trips where more than three cobia were caught. And so even if we in our guts know that people were catching more than three, when we go to present this sort of analysis and say we want to show that a boat limit's going to lead to reductions, well, we can't show that because the only data we have suggests that people aren't catching more than three cobia. And when looking at the 2014 data, there weren't any more than one or two. So there's not enough data that's collected by the MRIP survey. You know, there's maybe 39 length measurements. There was about 170 trips where they actually interviewed people who caught cobia, and there just weren't any to suggest that there were more than three fish.
Brian, that's very helpful information.
Yeah, it was a good data run.
Thank you for presenting it. That was very clear.
Oh, yeah, thank you.
So we have that. We have the lack of self-reporting, you know, our charter boat online or our Saltwater Journal, which has hurt us in the past on summer flounder, and now it's really bad. I don't know how the size limit would play into this, the suggestion that I heard this earlier, too, about having
a little bit more excited about that at the federal level.
But we can certainly look at that. And then, you know, even when this South Atlantic Council is going to do something with nymphs has been sort of fluctuating, but it looks like it's going to be the ninth. When they come in and they tell everybody here's what's going to happen, and, you know, I still think we need to try something. It's just I hope you understand that we're really limited.
Well, that's why I was bringing it up now, because I knew the 9th, 10th of March is when they were supposed to come down with some type of decision. And so then if we had it on the agenda, we could beat it around at our March meeting. But if at our March meeting, then the best we can do is go to public notice for April meeting.
Yeah.
You know, which still is probably okay.
Yeah. Well,
it makes it a little tight.
I mean, the commission should think about that. On the one thing, it's good to have this in the open probably for a March discussion, but it may not resolve anything, you know, completely. And it could be April. But I think since there's been such an interest, there's definitely going to be some of the things I've heard are not, you know, not good as far as how our fishermen think about a possible closure. Because somehow June 15th was floated out there as a closure date, and all of a sudden the emails and the phone calls started. So, you know, if the commission wants us to try and do something in March, with knowing that we may have to do something in April, because I have the sense that March 9th meeting, there's still going to be things going on after that. And the bad thing is it's in Jekyll Island, Georgia. So that makes it a little rugged. But they do have, we can listen in.
We have to do something. You know, so I don't know what that something is, and so then it becomes a timing thing. We go the other way and just and say we'll get to you in August and we'll make our decision then and get it done.
April, you mean?
No, August, and then the season. We go ahead and shut it down.
Oh, my goodness.
We'll get it done by October. It'd be fine.
All right, you got me.
I'm kind of at the other end of it. I would be more inclined to get something on the books so we have the ability to do something sooner rather than later.
So it's 88% for 2015 in state waters. So you know that when they close federal waters, everyone's aware they're just doing a little bit of the total. I did send an email to Tony Kearns from the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission, and I asked her, what's going to be the mechanism? South Carolina, what I read, even before you mentioned going down to the fish limit, they are scheduled to close when federal waters close. So whenever that closure takes place in federal waters, South Carolina is already earmarked to close too. But the other states, Georgia, North Carolina, and Virginia don't have anything. So I asked Tony, how is this going to work? It's not a joint plan that we have with certain species with National Marine Fisheries Service and ASMFC. So on the other hand, ASMSC would seem like the likely place that they would try and get the states to cooperate with, making sure the ACL is not an overage again. So there's quite a few unknowns, and we do have some information, but not everything. And I think August would be probably too late.
That would be the purpose.
Yeah, it would be.
Of course, to the charter boat guys and the marinas that rely on this fishery, it's become a very important fishery, particularly since flounders just kind of tanked, and we don't have a lot of other good fisheries in the bay to support a lot of charter fishing type things.
Sure.
Like I said, some marina tackle stores, that's basically what they base their business on. The Wallace is a classic over there in Fox Hill. They pretty much anything other than a closure, deal. And I don't know what we can do. I mean, even one fish is better than a closure, kind of thing. It's anything to allow us to fish.
Well, staff will have time to talk to Michelle Duvall, who's the chair of the South Atlantic Council. We've already made connections with NIMFS. Staff has made connection with NIMFS and, got some lead information, but maybe more of it will be available by the time you meet next month. And I guess it's just a question of whether you want a discussion item or whether you want a public hearing.
Well, y'all are the experts as far as this political and timing.
Yep.
And I just thought if we went to public notice, request for public notice here today, we would have the option of actually making a decision next month if we had one available. Not that we would have to, but if you were comfortable not doing that until next month, and then your earliest we could make a decision would be the April meeting.
It does seem that we'd be collecting more information even after the 9th of March, and that we would have a little time to try and hunt for some ways that can help.
Right, so we made a decision at the April meeting. It would go in effect May 1.
Right.
Well, that's okay. If we do something until June 1, we've already missed part of the season.
Yes.
It's around May 20th, we'll catch our first cobias.
So we'll have a discussion next month. Okay.
Thank you.
Mr. Zephyr,
why don't we go ahead and set up a public hearing for April?
Well, we want to make sure we know what we want to advertise as options.
All right.
So.
But that's
not a bad idea.
Let me make a couple observations on this. This is a very serious issue. This is not something that's being handed down upon us as we're hopeless victims on all this. We contributed to this. The answer is going to be painful. It's a matter of how painful and to what method the pain is going to come, is my suspicion. But I want everyone to know here that staff's been working on this very, very diligently here and is fully impressed upon the severity of the issues that are at hand here. This is something that has come to our attention and everyone's attention only the last couple of weeks. And as you've heard, there's data crunching, there's analysis, and I find it disheartening that our data for recreational angling efforts on cobia and other species is insufficient here, and this is a very good example here why if we had more data, it would work to our benefit. And sadly, recreational anglers all don't necessarily share that attitude. So with that, I'll climb off my soapbox. Want to have a discussion next month on this as we plot our path forward here, probably for an April public hearing?
Okay, sounds like a plan.
All right.
Very good.
This is still part of the public comment period. We've discussed cobia for a while here. Is there anybody else in the audience that wants to add in on cobia? If so, please come forward. Would you do me a favor and take your hat off? Thank you, sir. Please state your name for the record.
My name is Wes Blow. I'm a recreational fisherman, and I came to talk about cobia. I've fished for cobia for about 11 seasons. I've probably had 190 to 200 trips, and I've spent probably 1,500 hours on Chesapeake Bay fishing for cobia. In the last 2 weeks, I have talked to everybody up and down the East Coast that I can about the cobia closure problem. I just got off the phone with Michelle Duvall for 30 minutes this morning. I've talked to Mike Larkin down in the Northeast office. One of the things, and if I could back up just a minute, I have been trying for several years to get a boat limit on cobia because I see, and many of friends of mine have seen, way too many large cobia being killed. One thing that I talked with Michelle about this morning, I showed her the little chart that I talked to her about, a little chart I made. In the last 4 years, Virginia has not registered a cobia in the 100-pound class. 3 years prior to that, 2009 to 2011, we had three. In the last 4 years, Virginia has only registered five cobia in the 90-pound class range. 4 years, or 3 years prior to that, we had like 16, and Lewis could confirm all these numbers. I made a little chart. I have one I could give all y'all if you wanted, but I have been seeing, and friends of mine seeing, the quality of the cobia fishery going downhill. No one's saying that it's in danger of being wiped out, but the quality of the fish has gone downhill. I brought this up to Michelle, and she was astonished at the numbers this morning. So for the last several years, I have been talking with different clubs and other people, and most recently, in the last 6 months, I emailed hundreds of people to get responses and started talking about boat limits. And many people are for a boat limit. My club, the Peninsula Saltwater Fishing Club, the Bull Island Club, both are in favor of a three-fish limit with only one allowed over 50 inches. When I was talking to Michelle and Mike Larkin, both of those thought that would be a very good measure. When I was talking to Mike one time about how he's the person that's going to be making a proposal to the Jekyll Island meeting as far as what NOAA thinks need to be done to control what happened last year. And when last week North Carolina went to one fish, I emailed him that, and he said, yeah, someone just told me that. He said, I will have to change my proposal for the meeting. So the things that are happening can make a difference in when they make that date. North Carolina or South Carolina does have those two bills in both their House and their Senate, and it has passed in both houses, and it goes to the opposite house for approval. And when it passed in both of their houses, the House and the Senate, it was almost unanimous. So the legislatures that I talked to down there said that most likely will pass. They don't see it not happening. And like Mr. O'Reilly did say, part of that bill is for a closed season in May, which is their prime time, as well as a three-fish boat limit. They didn't have anything about the minimum size. But South Carolina, in about 2004, they had almost a complete collapse of their fishery, and the Port Royal Sound and Broad River area. It was a phenomenal fishery, and, you know, it just got overfished. And what's, you know, happened there, they are being very proactive about making some changes. So I would really love to see a limit to preserve the quality of the fishery here in Virginia. And in talking with Michelle, there are possibilities of things that can happen. You know, if they do a rolling closure of the season, that could give us a longer season. And she is very aware. I talked with her today and for 30 minutes, and she is well aware of how hard this is going to be on our charter captains and businesses. Personally, you know, I told her and I told Mr. Neal that, you know, it wouldn't hurt my feelings to see it closed down, because I'm a conservationist in many ways. I eat lots of fish, don't get me wrong, but, you know, I'm afraid that the fishery is in bad shape. But if we let it be completely closed down, you know, Wallace's, like Mr. Neal referred to, they're going to be wiped out. I know Randy down there, and he won't get through this with the other fisheries that he's lost. And many charter boat captains. I talked to last week. He has 12 charters already for July. He'll lose all that. That's half of his business. So this could be very devastating for them. And as you commented, we brought it on ourselves. We caught too many fish last year, and we brought it on ourselves. So looking for, you know, restrictions that will possibly keep us fishing some, and I do believe if we take the proactive stance of enacting something now and not wait. If you wait till April, it's too late. When I talked to Mike, he told me that they are presenting at the Jekyll Island meeting, and by the end of next month, they should make a decision. So if we wait until April, Virginia won't impact that decision. So I just feel we need to move quicker than later. Thank you.
Mr. Blow, hold up one second, please. Ms. Hurston.
Sir, can I ask a question? Your public comment referred to the deterioration of the quality of the fish, but your data that you cited referred to a declining size in the fish. So which one is
what I meant by quality is the larger size of fish that are out there. You know, we're losing the big fish. You know, there's less and less big fish being caught. And even last year, another alarming thing that happened, the 50- and 60-pound fish, the number of total citations that were recorded for them were way up. So we're killing way too many big fish. That is the reason for me wanting the 50 fish or 50-inch minimum on a boat limit, so that we don't kill as many big fish. Those larger fish will reproduce more, many, many times more than one that is just recently sexually mature. So that's the reason for that.
I just wanted to be clear that the quality might refer to a different kind of problem versus size, but
that was,
I just wanted to see which one you thought it was.
We're losing big fish.
Okay, thank you.
Ms. Blow, I want to thank you.
Okay.
Thank you for coming here, and thank you for giving your presentation, and I appreciate your passionate advocacy on our fisheries.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else in the audience who wishes to be heard? Chief Riley?
I've knocked this off so many times I can't tell you.
Duct tape this thing.
So there's really not a lot of magic here. We can use a bag size season analysis. That's typically what's done. And we can show incremental differences on the size, you know, start even higher than 50 inches and start to see what the savings are. I just want to make sure that everyone understands that it's not a good sign if the anglers know what's going on and we don't, with the size of the fish, with the number of fish and everything else. And that's why cobia, blue line tilefish, striped bass, all to be, you know, reporting that if you don't report, you get your permit, if you don't report, then you don't get the permit the next year, because it's gotten down to where recreational data is being used as a quota. And so if we don't have a good accounting system that matches what's really going on, it's a problem. So, you know, we'll go ahead and provide what we can in March. We certainly aren't going to wait till April with the data. We're going to have data by the March meeting. But, again, I don't know what to expect based on what Ryan has shown us already on the three fish limit for the boat limit and the lack of savings there. It just doesn't match what's going on. So, thank you.
I have one question, Rob. Addressing what Wes brought up and how, even though the Carolina change, North Carolina's change, is going to affect, I guess, NOAA Southeast, whoever is doing their presenting, numbers a little bit. I mean, just a few days.
Yes.
And so, you know, his proposal is if Virginia did something quicker, it might affect those numbers also.
We'll be in
touch. Is there any value for that, I guess?
Yeah, we'll be in touch. The irony here is that the accountability measures were designed in November 2014 specifically so that bag and size didn't have to be changed, but things could be thrown on a closed season option, because there was no expectation that the closed season was going to be imminent for 2016. So that's what happened. Now the states have to come back and say, well, you know, we really do like to modify our bag and our size and everything else. So,
let me follow up on what Mr. Neal was saying there. Would there be a benefit to Virginia if we come forward quickly with a proactive measure? Would that, in your estimation, help stave off a worst-case scenario? Is that what you were trying to get at, Kevin?
Yes.
It would all have to be counted at some point, whether we do that now or we do that after March the 9th. So the idea would be that we can find out what that benefit might be, but we'd have to know exactly what's in mind. If it's just the no three-fish boat limit and, you know, nothing over 50 inches for the boat, you know, we could find out pretty quickly.
It would be one over 50 inches, only one fish over 50 inches.
Okay, we could find out that on our own.
It would be something. I mean, as far as the charter guys and the business, I mean, even if we went down to as low as you can go, one fish boat limit is better than close.
Okay, so what we need to do is to do what I just said, have different bag size and season modifications for party charter and for private boat with the data that we have, and then have a number of different choices. Maybe none of them are going to be that great, but they are going to do something, you know, a little something. Is that what you intend?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Ken, let me throw another little tidbit out here that might be a little helpful. With all that data and all that analysis, you're still going to have an option at the March meeting here for an emergency measure. And you can definitely characterize this as an emergency as we go to a public hearing in April.
And that's so, if it makes sense to do that. If they say, yes, if you do something quick, it's a blah, blah, blah.
Who knows? The data may come back and show that there aren't any really viable options.
So I guess, Commissioner, the full answer to your question is that it's still going to, whatever happens, whether we do it right now or whether we do it before the season starts, it's still going to affect the season the same way. So,
great. Mr. Rowe, you want to add another tidbit here? Please come forward.
Two things. It would affect, if we did something soon, also if North Carolina and the other states had a rolling time period, you know, as far as the closure comes. Because if North Carolina was shut down for, you know, the 1st of June, then it would, because most of their landings last year came from May and June, if you look at the numbers. So if they were cut out of that, then it would affect the whole ACL. So us doing something now rather than later would be greatly beneficial if that was into play. And when I was speaking to Michael and Michelle about that, I mentioned that. The last point that, because when I was talking to Michelle, I told her that I'd bring this up. She asked me to. I know this is recreational, but another aspect of it is the commercial hook and line fishing. If the recreational is shut down completely, many of the charter captains have hook and line license too. The ACL for the commercial landings from Georgia to New York last year was 60,000 pounds, and they only registered 53,000 pounds. This year, that number has dropped down to 50,000 pounds, and already 6.4% of that number has been met. So if we completely shut down the recreational charter guys, and many of them have hook and line license, that commercial number could just be blown out of the water, the allocation, because it's only 47,000 pounds as of February the 12th left in total allocation.
We've got our eye on that as well.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else in the audience who wishes? Chief O'Reilly.
Yeah, I like being in the audience. So I'm glad we're having this conversation because the commercial fishery was 85% of the ACL. There's a recreational annual catch limit, and there's a commercial one. But what still has to be decided is there's an overall stock ACL. That's everything combined. And there was a big overage there as well, since the commercial is just a small part of the overall stock ACL. So we also need to find that out before we know what to do. Joe just told me there's 20 charter boat captains who also have the commercial hook and line, and I think it was just about a year and a half ago the commission allowed a 6-fish boat limit for commercial hook and line. So another dimension, I'm sure we're going to be listening intently to that broadcast down in Jekyll Island.
Oh, yeah. Is there anyone else in the audience who wishes to talk about COBIA? Let me continue the public comment period. Is there anybody in the audience who wishes to address the commission on a matter that is not on the agenda? All right. We're going to adjourn for lunch. We'll return at 12:45, and we'll reopen the public comment period there and then move along with the rest of the agenda. So, we're adjourned for lunch. Meeting is reconvened here. We are still in the public comment period. Before we move into the afternoon's agenda here, can I ask anyone in the audience who's wearing a hat to please take their hats off? And I'll continue the public comment period. Is there anybody in the audience who wishes to address the commission on a matter that is not on the agenda? Seeing none, the public comment period is closed.